Priority of Love is the title of this sermon. In the 1930s, Ivy Lee had a meeting with Charles Schwab. Charles Schwab was the then president of Bethlehem Steel. During the conversation, Lee asserted to Mr. Schwab that if he was to follow his instructions, that his company, Bethlehem Steel, would see their productivity rise and their profits rise. Schwab, being curious, said, "Sure, what's your idea?" So Lee handed Schwab a blank piece of paper. He said, "I want you to write down the most important things you have to do tomorrow. Make a list." And Schwab did so, made a list of the most important things he had to do tomorrow. Then Lee said to Schwab, "Okay, I want you to number them 1 through 5 or 1 through 6, one being the most important and 6 being the least important. Number them 1 through 6. And he did that. So Lee's advice is, "Okay, tomorrow I want you to start with number 1. Do the number one thing on your list, do that tomorrow and stay with it until you finish that number one thing. Don't worry about the rest of the list. Don't worry if you don't get accomplished. You can do those another time. But you stay with number one. If it takes you a day, it takes you 2 days, you finished number one on your list." Sounds simple, right? So Schwab tried it and he gave it to his men, his managers of his company to try it. And Lee made this statement to Schwab: "If you try it and if it works out, you just send me a check and send me a check to whatever you think the value of this information would be to you." So a few weeks pass, a couple of months pass, and Schwab sends Lee a check for $25,000. 1930s. A lot of money. A lot of money now. A lot of money. Well, a lot of money back then. Simple advice: make a to-do list, make a priority list, and do the number one thing on your list. And it worked. So a lesson in priorities, of taking the most important thing and making that your goal for the day. Get that accomplished. Do that. On a much higher level, how we as Christians recognize and maintain our spiritual priorities will determine the spiritual success of our lives. How we identify our priorities spiritually and how we maintain those things, which is a struggle, a constant struggle. Maybe this morning you've don't think much about spiritual priorities in your life. Those thoughts are not really a thought you have. You just think about what you have to get done for tomorrow just to survive, going to work, taking care of the kids, and paying the mortgage and those things. And those are also priorities, but I believe spiritual priorities are higher than those. Because what you do in this earth and this time is only moments, only temporary, not eternal. So the eternal things are what are going to last eternally. In John 21, we're going to have a conversation with Jesus and Peter. Maybe you're familiar with this text, or you're familiar with the story. But in this conversation that Jesus has with Peter around the breakfast campfire, with the other 5 disciples or 6 disciples that are with him, it's a lesson in priorities. And the question that Jesus asked Peter is a question I want to ask you and ask myself this morning. Do you love Jesus? And if you do love Jesus, your priorities should match that commitment or match that statement. See, in our culture, the word love means a lot of things. I love a good steak. I love my wife. I love my children. I love to, do something. But the way I'm using that term can mean different ways. In the Greek, the way the Bible was written, New Testament was written in Greek, we're going to have different words for love, and we're going to discuss that this morning. But sometimes we use love really kind of really casually, really not really thought it through very well. I love this or I love that. But when you say, or when you're asked a question, you answer the question, do you love Jesus? Do you love God? How you answer that is a big answer. And what you do when you say it determines if you truly mean it. So what Jesus asked Peter is a loaded question. Because Jesus, being creator, being God, he knows everything, and there's no secrets from him. And Peter knows that. We're going to see that. Peter knows that Jesus knows the answer to the question. And how Peter responds is interesting. And how Jesus responds to Peter is also interesting. So let's jump into it. Gospel of John 21, verse 15. when they had finished breakfast, So let's quick jump back up in the text previous. The disciples had been on a boat fishing all night long. They caught no fish. The next morning, Jesus walks on the shore and says, "Hey guys, you caught anything?" And they say, "No." Net on the other side of the boat, and there they catch a bunch of fish. John realizes it's Jesus. Peter jumps into the water, does this little Forrest Gump swim to shore, and there's Jesus, and they bring all the fish ashore. Jesus has a fire going, has some fish on the grill, and there's some bread. And there they have breakfast on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, Tiberias. So this is at the same moment. They've just finished breakfast, just finished eating. They're all kind of around the fire there together. And Peter is kind of picked out, singled out by Jesus. Verse 15, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" When you got in trouble by your parents, did your parents ever use your first and middle name? If you have children, do you ever use your child's first and middle name? When you do that, does it mean that you're happy? When you're proud of their accomplishments? No, usually it's kind of a serious moment. Here, Jesus uses Peter's former name, Simon, son of John. It's kind of a reminder that Jesus is not totally happy with Peter's responses lately. Let's quick review. It wasn't too long before this that Peter offered to die for Jesus, to go to extremes for Jesus, and Jesus said to Peter, "Before the morning, you're going to deny me three times." And that is played out, and Peter does deny. He rejects Jesus three times. And Jesus and Peter in the courtyard of the Pharisees meet eye to eye when the rooster crows, and Peter runs off. Peter is not at the cross when Jesus is crucified. It's only John. Now, this is not the first time that Peter and Jesus have met. Peter was in the house when Jesus appeared the first time. Thomas wasn't there. He appears. Later, 8 days later, Thomas is there. Jesus comes back. He appears again. So this is not the first time that Jesus and Peter have had a conversation, but this is the first time they've had a private conversation. Private with the other disciples watching. I want you to keep that in the back of your mind. Now, not all of them are there. Just a few of them are there. Not every disciple is present. But there are a couple of guys there. John's there. Nathaniel's there. Thomas is there. John's brother James is there. So this conversation that Jesus is having with Peter, there's others watching. There's others listening. And hopefully they're going to learn the lessons that Jesus is trying to teach to Peter by evaluating or observing. Those are good lessons to learn for us, right? By watching other people's lives and how the good and bad decisions they make of how I would react in that. Peter's a good example for us as well as we eavesdrop in, as we get to see this conversation. So Jesus says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these?" Now, Jesus is going to ask Peter three times, "Do you love me?" Okay? The first time he asks it, he uses the word love, he uses the word agape. Agape is the highest word in the Greek language for love. It's the self-sacrificing, it's the highest form of love. So when I say I love my wife, I'm going to use the word agape. When I love a steak, I'm not really going to use that word agape for a steak. Track that? So when Jesus says, "Peter, do you agape me more than these? Do you love me to the highest form of love more than," a couple of thoughts, "more than fishing itself, more than the fish, more than the bread, more, do you love me more than the other guys? Do you love James, John, Nathaniel more than you love me? Or do you love me more than they love me?" All things are happening in this question that Jesus is asking Peter. But what the whole whole conversation, Jesus is trying to get to the point where Peter will self-counsel, will self-examine his priorities, of where he's at in his spiritual priorities. Again, Jesus already knows. And Peter is wise to understand that. Jesus already knows where Peter's at. And for us, individually, self-application, Jesus knows where you're at individually. Keep going. 15. Do you love me more than these? Do you agape me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. So Peter responds, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But the word love that Peter uses is phileo, brotherly love, Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. He uses a lower form of love. It still means a lot. It's still a good word. It still means has some passion there, but it's not agape. It's phileo. Jesus uses the word agape, and Peter uses the word phileo. Now, is Peter just ignorant? No. Peter knows that Jesus knows. Peter knows that Jesus knows where Peter's at. Peter knows, this is confusing. Peter knows that Jesus knows him better than he knows himself. So there's no point in trying to fool him. There's no point in trying to fake my way out of this by saying agape, because he knows I don't love him that way. He knows that my level of love is not that high at this moment. So I'm going to say phileo. I'm going to aim low on this one. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. We'll come back to that one. Verse 16. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? So a second time, Jesus asked the same question. Do you love me? Same word, agape. Do you love me? Verse 16. Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Again, Peter uses the word phileo for love, brotherly love. Yes, Lord, I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Verse 17, third time. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now, this time, Jesus uses the word phileo, not agape. He changes it. He's asked twice, do you agape me? Do you self-sacrificing? Do you, the highest form of love, do you love me? Am I the supreme, preeminent thing in your life? And Peter answers, phileo. This time, Jesus comes back with the word phileo himself. Do you love me as a brother, as a friend? Look at Peter, how Peter responds. Verse 17. Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. I've made this comment before, and Peter gets sometimes the bad rap of things. He gets kind of the foolish Peter comments. I don't think Peter's being very foolish here. I think Peter's being honest. I don't think Peter going fishing was Peter rebelling against Christ. I don't think Peter going fishing was Peter walking away from the gospel. Therefore, I don't see this as a strict disciplinarian conversation. I think Jesus is just trying to see where Peter's at priority-wise with him. Because Jesus is about to leave. He's about to ascend into heaven for the final time. And it's all going to be up to the disciples to carry on this thing. And he wants to see where Peter's at. But he also wants to see where the other guys are at as well. Because they're eavesdropping on the conversation. So when Jesus drops down in the third question, do you love me? Do you phileo me? It's not a trick question. He just really wants to see where Peter truly is. He wants Peter to look inward in himself. Okay, I've said twice that I phileo Jesus. I love Jesus as a friend, as a brother, this friendship love. Now he's asking me the third time, do I truly love him as a brother? He wants Peter to self-evaluate, do I truly believe what I just said? Track that? Do I truly believe that I love him that much? Peter's response is, I think, a really good response. He was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know everything." His omniscience, all-knowing. Peter's right. There's no hiding it. There's no way of fooling him. The third time, Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." So in all three questions Jesus asked, all three get the same response, just different terms. The first one, "Feed my lambs." The first one in verse 15. "Feed my lambs." Verse 16, "Tend my sheep." Now in verse 17, "Feed my sheep." "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." All of these refer to shepherding, of a shepherd. And we looked at in the months past that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. Here you have a picture, an image of pastorally care, of shepherding Jesus' flock. If Jesus was truly trying to discipline Peter, if he was truly trying to make Peter feel bad or to put Peter kind of in the corner, with his nose in the corner kind of thing, he wouldn't have told him to feed and tend and shepherd his sheep. Because I'm not going to give that responsibility to someone that I'm not really trusting. You track that? Jesus knows where Peter's heart is. Peter knows where his own heart is. Peter knows that Jesus knows where his heart is. But in all this, Jesus is still compassionate and still forgiving. Okay, I believe you. Now go to work. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Pasture my people. Pastor my church. Now, quick side note, this does not mean that Peter is the Pope. It means he's just a pastor. He's an apostle. He's the one that preaches in the day of Pentecost, or he's the one that we have recorded who preaches at Pentecost. Keep going. Let's read a little further on. We're going to skip ahead a little bit. We'll come back to it again next week. Verse 18. "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said, verse 19, to show what kind of death he was to glorify God. After saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." So verse 18 and 19, which we'll discuss again next week, Jesus tells Peter how he's going to die by crucifixion. You're going to stretch out your hands when you're older. Come follow me. The conversation in 15, 16, and 17 is all preparing Peter for what's about to come next. Jesus Christ's ascension, Pentecost, New Testament writings, church planting, ministry. And ultimately, when you're older, death or crucifixion. And history has told us that Peter is crucified, but he is crucified upside down by his own choice because he thought himself unworthy to be crucified head up because that's how Jesus Christ was crucified. Priority of love. Here's the application. Christians are called to serve Christ, but it is all too easy in our everyday following of Christ to put our priorities on serving rather than loving God. My ultimate goal for you, my ultimate desire for you, is that you love God. You love Jesus. You love the gospel. And everything else in the Christian life will fall into place if you love God. Now, it is very possible for you to serve God, to serve the church, to do Christian things, and not love God. It's very, very possible and happens all the time. So I'm not going to ask you to serve. I'm going to ask you to love. And if you truly love, you'll serve. Track that? So that's what Christ is asking Peter. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, I phileo you, I love you. All right, feed my sheep. tend my lambs, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. If you truly believe what you just said, to love me, and you truly do love me, now you're going to serve me. Now you're going to follow me. Now it's going to be easier for you to do everything else that is asked of you to do. Years ago, especially in Baptist churches, we got it backwards. Do this, do this, do this. And if you do this, it means you love Jesus. I'm going to reverse it. Love Jesus first, and everything else will happen. So your scripture reading, your prayer life, your financial giving to the church into missions, sacrificially giving to the church into missions. Church, let's catch this, church participation, not church attendance. They're different. Church participation, not church attendance. You can attend a church, but never be participating in that church. And if all you do is attend, you're missing on what it means to be a part of the local church. Priority of love. Scripture makes it very clear. God makes it very clear to us our priority, what it should be. So, quick Bible study. Old Testament book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's turn there. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll pick up in verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these are the words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your head, and they shall be on a fortress between you, between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house, on your gates. So the first priority that God gives to Israel is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. That's the first priority. All right, so let's jump to the New Testament, Book of Matthew 22. Matthew 22. We'll pick up in verse 34. We'll start at the top of the paragraph. Matthew 22, verse 34. But when a Pharisee heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test Jesus. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? So the question is asked in verse 36, what's the greatest commandment? So in the back of in the entryway of our building, we have above the welcome table the Ten Commandments. So which one's the greatest? Which one do I need to follow the most? That's the question that's being asked. Verse 37, he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So the greatest commandment is to love God. So the first priority, first spiritual priority in our lives is to love God. Second, to love our neighbor as ourselves, to love others. So in reality, we are third. We are not second. To love God. Here's the struggle. The struggle in our Christian life is sometimes our affections are not on the level they should be, and therefore our Christian priorities drop off. I'll be honest with you, there are days where my scripture reading and my prayer life are only sermon prep, not personal feedings. And why does that happen? Because my level of affection and my level of love has dropped. I'm not agape, I'm phileo. What happens in our lives when our church participation, our financial givings, our Bible reading, our prayer life, when those things begin to drop off, it's because our level of affection, our level of love has dropped. It is difficult to keep it up there. It's difficult to keep that thing going. It is a struggle. So, a couple of thoughts concerning this. How do we make our love for Christ the highest priority in our lives? How do we fight that struggle? How do we combat it? I'll give you two things. In the back of your bulletin are some notes. Two thoughts. One, we must be honest about the level of our love for Christ. We must be honest about the level of our love for Christ. We must be personally honest with it. I'll give you two thoughts, two things. The practice of self-examination or self-counsel. To individually, by yourself, counsel yourself. To evaluate your own heart and soul at any moment of your time. Where am I at spiritually? Where am I at with my affections for Christ? If Jesus was to appear in your small group and was to ask you individually, do you love me more than these? What would you say? Again, he knows your thoughts. You can't hide it. That's what Peter had to do. We must be honest about our level of love for Christ. And this, church, this is a daily, hourly, minutely, secondly, that's a good word, practice. Where am I at this moment? Where am I at this moment? Where am I at this moment? Where am I at? Where am I at? Self-evaluating myself. An honest look at my life. Here's the sad thing. There's no excuses. And there's no one to blame but yourself. Your spiritual position, there's no one else you can blame. You can't blame me. Well, I wasn't fed. I personally disagree with that statement. You were fed. You didn't eat. And if all you ever do is feed on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, you ain't feeding enough. A couple of scripture references. Let's look these up. 2 Corinthians 13. Let's go there. If you're in Matthew, turn to the right to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. You got Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says this: examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself, or do you not realize that this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you? So the two phrases: examine yourself, test yourself. To examine your spiritual position, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Are you born again? To test yourself, to test your faith. You can also use that to test your spiritual priorities. Let's go back to Matthew 7. So if you're in 2 Corinthians, go back to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 4, verse 5. Matthew 7, verse 4 and verse 5. This is the story or the illustration about the log and the beam in the eye. Verse 4, or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye and then you will see clearly take the speck out of your brother's eye. So the illustration that he's giving here is we're quick to judge other people's lives, of good or bad decisions when they have a speck in their eye. But here I am with this, like, telephone pole sticking out of mine. First, I need to evaluate, examine, self-examine, self-counsel myself before I ever come to you with counsel or with any kind of correcting. Am I where I should be first before I ever step into your world? The practice of self-counsel, self-examination. So back to John. Back to John 21. We must be honest about the level of our love for Christ. And that's what Jesus is asking Peter in this text. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? It's interesting, he asked him three times. He denies him three times, and he asks him three times. And Peter's honest. Peter is honest with his answers. We must do the same. Number two, second thing we need to do, it's simple. It's so simple. We need to spend time with him. That's the Sunday school answer right there. Spend time with him. So a few thoughts. You personally spend time with the people you love. You do. You make the time to spend the time with the people you love and care about. I do, and so do you. So your family, your spouse, your children, hopefully you love them. You spend time with them. If you truly say you love Jesus, you'll spend time with Jesus, right? And that's in personal time. It's personal prayer, personal Bible study. That's also your church participation. If you love Jesus and Jesus died for the church, you will spend time with the church, right? You can't say you love Jesus, don't love the church. We've done that right before. We've discussed that before. That's an ignorant statement to make. I love Jesus, but don't like the church. Wrong. Christ died for the church. Therefore, you should love the church. So your personal time, your time of scripture reading and prayer life, Bible study, your church participation, you being involved in local church, those are all things that are evidence of your proof of your love for Jesus. Family, spending time with those you love. I'm gonna preach a little bit, okay? So if you have sandals on, I'm sorry, it's up on your toes. When you go home and your spouse or your kids or people that you live with, those that you're there and you love, do you talk to them? Do you participate in the activities of the house? Married men, I hope you don't walk home from work, open the door, grab something out of the fridge, sit down in your chair and turn on SportsCenter, and that's all you do all night long. While your wife is doing dinner and taking care of the kids and bathing the children and this and that and cleaning up your dirty socks off the floor and all those things, you just sit there and do nothing. You're attending, but not participating. Track that? If you truly love Jesus and you love Christ and Christ died for his church, you are going to be participating in his church, not just attending it. You're going to come and you're going to get involved because you love God. If you say you love it, you will serve it. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Tend my sheep. Feed my lambs. Go do. Go serve. Get involved. Question for you this morning, just this question for Peter, do you love God? And if you do, these things will fall into place and they will be evidence of your love. Do you love God? Let's pray. Father, forgive me for the times that my affections and my love for you are weak and self-centered and occupied with other things. Forgive me for my laziness towards my scripture reading and my prayer life and my love for you. Father, you do know my heart. You do know the secret things about me. I thank you for grace in my life. I thank you for grace to forgive me when I fail, of holding me and protecting me. Father, I pray for our church this morning. I pray for all those who are here to cause a joyfulness in their spirit for you, to answer the question, do you love me, with joy and sincerity, to forgive us when we fail. Father, if there's anyone that does not know you as Lord and Savior, and have never been born again, never have come to know you as Lord and King, I pray, Lord, you open their hearts to truth. You save their souls. All the praise and all the glory belongs to you and you alone. Christ, I pray. Amen.